Tuxk Newsom, Salamat, thank you, and welcome to Juno Afternoon. I'm Boston Christopher. Today, the Juno String Ensemble's Chamber Music Night is Saturday, February 28th at 7 p.m. at Thunder Mountain Middle School. We'll chat with a couple of members from Aurora Strings about the upcoming show. And Theater in the Rough, Weekend of Revolution, features a self-help cabaret and a reimagining of the classic play Antigone. We'll take a look at those two events coming up. And the Juno Chamber of Commerce has a relatively new executive director, Becca Parks. Becca will be here to share a little about her work and some of the upcoming events from the Chamber. Those conversations coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon from your community-supported public media station, KTOO. Or you can catch us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Also, a programming note, Bird Note, a segment often played on Juno Afternoon, will be featured in replace of Juno Afternoon tomorrow with a full hour-long episode. It's called Words in Flight. It features selections from episodes of Bird Note Daily and Bring Birds Back that highlight contemporary poetry. You'll hear poets, in their own words, sharing what birds mean to them and what they teach us about ourselves and our world. Catch Words in Flight in place of Juno Afternoon. That's tomorrow, Thursday, February 26th at 3 p.m. with a rebroadcast at 7 right here on KTOO. This is Juno Afternoon.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kushtuk U Bill Fawcett, and the word this week is dleit.
Dleit.
That means snow. And here's a sentence. It's really snowing. Let's hear it again.
Dleit.
Snow. Gunnish Cheesh to Chneit Lance Twitchell, Gold Belt Heritage Foundation and the University of Alaska, Southeast for this audio.
Kushtuk O'ish Bill Fawcett was Slukach Adi and the child of a Southern Toshone man who passed away before Bill was born. His mother later married Tsihua Bill Fawcett, who helped raise Bill. He lived on Occoquan Ani and enjoyed working with advanced language learners, helping them answer difficult questions about the language.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Tongass Federal Credit Union, a member-owned financial cooperative offering checking and savings accounts, loans, and digital financial services. In Juno at 8585 Old Dairy Road in the K Plaza and at tongassfcu.com, federally insured by NCUA. This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. I'm Boston Christopher. Our first guest today, Isabel Wilson, who is the first violinist for Aurora Strings, and Maya Breedlove, who is the concertmaster and soloist for Aurora Strings, will be performing in this weekend's Juno String Ensemble's Chamber Music Night. It's on Saturday, February 28th at 7 p.m. at Thunder Mountain Middle School. I welcome them to the studio now. Gunnith Cheesh, Ha'yeyadi, it's a pleasure to have you both in the studio today. How are you today, Isabel?
Hi. I'm doing pretty well. I mean, we just got off from school, so...
Did you get out a little early for the interview?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a little.
Just a little, okay.
I'm not missing much. We're just... watching movies in English right now, so.
Okay, that's nice. And, of course, welcome to you as well, Maya.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thank you.
Gunnith Cheesh for being here. Okay, so let's set the scene first. What is the Juno String Ensembles and what is Aurora Strings? Start with those two organizations.
Okay, well, Juno String Ensembles is basically this program that allows string musicians specifically to get an opportunity to play in an orchestra with kids around their level and just learn new skills, like learn how it is like playing with an orchestra. There's two orchestras in our program. We've got Ursa Major, which is like at intermediate level, and then Aurora Strings, which Maya and I are in. And these are like the more advanced students. So it's like high school, maybe some middle schoolers. And then Ursa Major is going to be like mostly middle school, maybe even a couple like elementary.
I see. Okay. So you can, how early can you start in the Ursa Major program?
About elementary school, it's typically middle schoolers in Ursa Major and high schoolers in Aurora Strings, but we have some elementary schoolers in Ursa Major.
I see. Yeah, and of course, I just want to mention the website real quick. JunoStringEnsembles.org is where you can go and learn a little bit more about the organization. You were going to say, Isabel?
Yeah, I think when I was just saying, like, you were asking about when people can start in Ursa Major. Mm. I think I was, like, either fifth or sixth grade when I first joined.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And what made you want to get into it? Was it something that your parents made you do at first, or did you say, hey, I want to do that?
So I started playing violin via the jam program, like kindergarten violin.
Sure.
And then afterwards, I ended up getting lessons with Mr. Shaw, and he introduced me to playing in, like, small groups. Maya and I were both in Mini Fiddlers, which we were in elementary school, and then slowly moved up to Ursa Major and then Aurora Strings. So, yeah, we've been playing together for a while now.
Now, Maya, I know your dad's over here in the room. How did you get into playing the violin?
Yeah, I actually started with piano, but the elementary schoolers in Juneau have a really good jam program, and so I found interest in violin. So I immediately started taking private lessons with Mr. Shaw, who's the director of Juneau String Ensembles, both Ursa Major and Aurora Strings. And I joined Mini Fiddlers, which isn't a group anymore, but it used to be a group for mainly elementary schoolers.
Okay.
So me and Isabel were actually, I think, 6 years old and 8 years old when we joined Mini Fiddlers together.
Oh, man, you two have been playing together forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's really cool. And do you learn from each other? Like, do you practice together and be like, oh, I can't get this note. Can you help me, show me how to do the finger combination or anything?
For sure. We're in multiple groups together, and we usually are stand partners. So stand partners, you know, we share fingerings and bowings, and we learn from each other in that way.
I see. Okay. Do you ever have any disagreements on how a piece of music should be played?
Sometimes, like, I think less about, like, how it's played, but, like, more about, like, fingers and, like, shifting. Like, she'll have one and I'll have one and we'll either just, like, use our separate ones or...
Yeah, sometimes it can be difficult for stand partners because we share the same thing in music. So when we have different fingerings, maybe one of us will write it on the top and the other will write it on the bottom. And
I see. And why are there different fingerings? Explain that to me.
Well, so if you think about it, there's more than one, like, finger you can use to, like, play a note. Like, so when you shift, you, like, move your hand up the fingerboard, and you could play, like, say, a D with, like, your third finger, or you could do it with, like, your first finger if you're in a different position. So there's lots of different ways to, like, play a single note or a single sequence of notes.
Okay.
So,
and some violinists may find it easier to, like, shift to a certain position, while another violinist might not find that easier because they haven't played pieces with that position much.
Does it have to do with, like, the coordination of your fingers, like, or the size of your hand or something like that?
I mean, sometimes with hand sizes, like, sometimes you'll have to, like, stretch, and my hands are kind of small, so it's kind of hard to do
flexibility,
that.
Flexibility, yeah.
Yeah, flexibility. That's really cool. And so let me ask this question, and we'll talk about the concert here in a second, but... What grades are you in now, Isabel?
I'm a senior.
Senior, and Maya?
And I'm a junior.
You're a junior, okay. So I'm going to start with you, Isabel. So you're about to graduate. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Do you plan on continuing music as you go further on in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I would like to take a couple music classes in college if they're available, maybe even join a symphony. Maya's actually part of the Juno Symphony right now. And I thought that would be a good opportunity to take part of, maybe now, but also definitely when I graduate and when I join college. I don't want to stop performing.
What do you feel like you might major in college, you know?
Education. I like kids, and specifically little ones, sorry. I don't know. I just really like teaching them and learning from them as well.
I see. Okay, that's kind of cool. And what about you, Maya? You got one more year of school.
Yeah, so right now in college, I do plan to major in neuroscience,
neuroscience.
With maybe a minor in music. But even if I don't minor in music, I still plan to join a college orchestra.
I see. Okay. What are you going to do with neuroscience? What do you want to do?
I want to become a neurologist.
Neurologist. Because I was thinking, like, there's people who, and I think there's somebody in town who does it now, too. There's, like, music therapy, right? Which is kind of interesting. And I didn't know if, like, neurologist, do you operate on people when you do that, or is that something else?
Yeah, neurosurgery is a part of a neuroscience, but I do not plan to go into neurosurgery.
Okay, that's kind of cool. Yeah, music therapy is really interesting to me, like the idea of, you know, using that to help people. I had one on a couple years ago, and they were talking about, you know, it helps people who maybe have had an accident or something like that, and their brain needs restructuring, and the music is used to help them, you know, get back into, you know, occupational or therapeutic kind of ways, which is really cool. It's kind of fascinating. Okay, so this concert that's happening on Saturday, it's the Chamber Music Night. It's February 28th. It's at 7 p.m. It's at Thunder Mountain Middle School. What are we going to be hearing on Saturday?
So you're going to be hearing a lot of different types of music. We have both of our orchestras playing. We actually have a couple pieces that we'd like to play for everybody.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. So the first one we want to do is called the Butterfly Lover's Concerto. Do you want to talk more about
It's a famous piece of Eastern music.
Okay.
And our director, Mr. Shaw, he's very familiar with Chinese music, being Chinese himself. And he introduced me to this piece and offered me to solo for it with Aurora Strings. It's a really beautiful piece of Eastern music.
Oh, wow.
And then Hoedown by Aaron Copland is very different. It's a piece of Western music with a lot of like double notes and string crossings and all the parts of Western violin music.
That's so interesting. And that's two of the pieces. Are there other pieces that you'll be doing as well?
Yeah, we have a lot of different ones. We have a couple pieces by Mozart. We've got one by Beethoven that we're actually going to be playing in collaboration with Ursa Major, along with this song called Tibetan Dances. I forget what songs Ursa Major is playing.
That's okay. If we don't know what they're, you know what you're doing.
I
That's
know what
what's
we're
important.
Doing. Yeah.
And how many people are in the Aurora Strings? How many members? Is it a lot?
I mean, I think Ursa Major is bigger. Aurora would be about like
I'd say
20-ish.
Yeah, 20 or under.
Okay. And
yeah.
And Isabel said, Maya, that you also play with the Juno Symphony. How'd you get involved with that?
Yeah, so actually a few years ago, Aurora Strings collaborated with the Juno Symphony,
yes.
And ever since then, I wanted to join, so I auditioned about a year and a half ago, and I've been playing with concerts with them ever since.
I see. That's really cool. Congratulations on that. That's
so
fun. So in this concert, you just named like Mozart, Beethoven, all these other things that you're going to be doing, the Hoedown, the Butterfly Concerto. Which one's your favorite, Maya?
Gosh, I'd have to say Hoedown is my favorite because it is a really challenging piece of music, but it's very rewarding. If you practice a lot, you can get the really high notes and really fast notes, and it's really fun to play with a group of chamber music with a bunch of other strings.
Yeah, when you were playing it before we started on air warming up, I was like, wow, that is a fast piece of music. That's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Isabel?
Actually, first fun fact about Hoedown, we played this song in New York at Carnegie Hall. We were invited in 2022 for the Sounds of Summer Festival. Maya and I were second violinists back then, and we played that piece as our final song for the set, and everybody loved it. And now, like, what, 4-ish years later, we get to play it again.
As first violinist.
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. What was that Carnegie experience like?
Well, we got to see New York, which is something I didn't think that I would get to do in my life.
A little bit different than Juno, huh?
A lot different than Juno. Like, less mountains, more buildings.
Right.
Yeah, but it was really fun just, like, walking the streets in our concert uniforms, like, on our way to Carnegie. I think we got pizza beforehand, which is fun. We got to see the Statue of Liberty. We went on a boat, which was fun.
Very cool.
And we got to play at one of the parks. I forget which one, but it was pretty fun. I mean, minus the helicopters.
There's a classic dad joke. I don't even know if you've heard it. Maybe you did it for Carnegie Hall. Do you know how you get to Carnegie Hall?
Practice.
There you go.
Practiced those songs for 2 years.
And
we were supposed to go during COVID, but, you know.
I remember we did have an interview after y'all came back. I remember talking about that it was supposed to be a COVID trip or that time period, and then you had to cancel it.
Yeah, but it led us to practice for 2 more years, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Definitely performed really better than we would have.
Mm-hmm. That was really cool.
I still remember all the Zoom practices, like all the sectionals and then practicing, but everybody's like super spread out and we all have masks on. So like you're just there with your stand partner, but then like the next pair is like a few feet away.
It was a difficult experience.
That would be rough. But I'm glad it all came together. And what's going to come together? Why don't you guys get your violins, head up to the microphone up there. I'll give these notes again about what's happening this weekend. It's the Juno String Ensembles. You can go to junostringensembles.org and you can find out information and get tickets for this concert, which is the Chamber Music Night. It's this Saturday, February 28th at 7 p.m. It's out at Thunder Mountain Middle School. And right now, Isabel and Maya are going to play two selections for us, which they talked about here in the interview. The first is the Butterfly. Did you say the Butterfly Lovers Concerto? Is that what it's called?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. So the Butterfly Lovers Concerto. And then they'll take a little break, and then they'll play Hoedown by Aaron Copland. So let me make sure I have everything set up here. Yeah, go ahead. Take it away. Okay, that's the Butterfly Lovers Concerto. Now let's hear The Hoedown by Aaron Copland. Cheese for being here. That's lovely. You can check out the Juno String Ensembles this Saturday. They've been working on this music since August. They're going to be playing Bach, Beethoven, Copland, Vivaldi, and He Zhan Hao. Is that how you say that last one?
We're
close? Yeah, close. That's going to be so great. Well, thank you so much. Gunnath Cheese, Isabel, and Maya. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
This is Bird Note. Any hobby or special interest has its own jargon. You'll pick up on the silly slang that birders use as you go, like calling the yellow-rumped warbler butterbutt. Still, learning a few basics of bird vocab is useful when you're starting out. It'll help you ask better questions when you're confused. And there's a good place to look for those vocab terms: the opening pages of a bird field guide. Most of the book is made up of species descriptions, but the first few sections have general info about what to call the different parts of a bird, basics on bird behavior, and birding tips. So it's a quick and helpful read before a trip to find birds. For now, here are a few vocab words to get you started. The feathers on top of a bird's head are called the crown. Bird vocalizations come in two general types: songs, used to attract mates, and calls, with other meanings such as alarm or just, "Hey, I'm over here." The bright white lines found on many songbirds' wings are called wing bars. Like any language, the more you immerse yourself, the faster you'll learn. For BirdNote, I'm Jonice Franklin.
Hands and grass. Ka eat with the shoe ye, we ka shook a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta ka na kaya ha ane kak gunish cheese.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I'm Boston Christopher. Last week, we chatted with Perseverance Theater about their production of Pueblo Revolt, opening this Friday, and how it was what's part of being billed as Weekend of Revolution, sort of cross-promoting with theater in the rough. Well, what other revolutionary events are making up that fun weekend? Well, today, we chat with folks from the theater about both of these projects, 10 Steps to Personal Revolution, a self-help cabaret, and Antigone, We Are the Rebels, Asking for the Storm, reimagines Sophocles' timeless tragedy as a rallying cry for resistance. And I welcome now to the show returning guests, Timothy Sislo, Gunathish Wasiati. How are you?
Oh, good, good. How about you?
Excellent. And of course, then we also have Donnie Gott returning to the show. Gunathish, Donnie, how are you?
I'm all right.
I wanted to say Gunathish, and then I said Donnie, but then I put Gani in there. So it's like just one word all of a sudden.
I love it. It gives me freedom to mess up too.
Always. That's what theater's about, right? Like practicing. And we were just talking with the young ladies from the Juno String Ensembles about the joke of how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, 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 right? And that's what theater's all about, right? Is practicing. So this cool weekend that you all have planned, Donnie, how did this idea come up? When did this germinate in terms of becoming kind of a weekend of events?
The artistic directors of Theater in the Rough, Katie Jensen, Aaron Elmore, found themselves in a place where they were going to forego doing a spring show, but we still had dates booked at the hall. And so during a board meeting, they offered those dates to board members. Do you guys want to do anything? And I said, no. But Alex and Timothy piped up right away saying, yeah, we'd love to do something. And so I said, as long as I don't have to be in it or cast it or be creative in any way, I will support you guys in anything that you want to do. And so I'm going to turn it over to Tim now.
You make me think, Donnie, of that classic Chekhov line, youth. They have such energy, don't they?
They do. Thank the heavens for them, yes.
So, and you both are on the board, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So, Donnie, before I talk to Tim, what's your involvement in the weekend? Are you helping to produce it a little bit, or are you just
Well, we met and we talked about what we wanted to do. And so we came up with this concept of revolution and revolt. And Timothy, who is an excellent performer, cabaret performer, drag performer, said, I want to do a cabaret. And Alex, also, who is a musician, singer, wanted to do that too. And then I, being old, said, we also have to do a straight play. I found this script, this Antigone script, and then we just kind of started taking it from there. And then the younger people, although they're not that young.
I'm still in my
30s. Okay, okay.
Tim's like, no, please give me the young. I'll take the young.
Yeah, they took the reins of the creative side of it.
I see. Okay. Yeah. And unfortunately, Alex was going to be here. Alex Curtin was going to join us, but she's under the weather today.
Yeah.
But she's directing the reading of Antigone, We Are the Rebels Asking for the Storm.
Yeah.
But we'll get back to that in just a minute. Tim, so tell me a little bit about when these dates were offered up. Had you already sort of been burgeoning inside to do like a cabaret, or what's going on?
You know, it's something that I've done quite a bit of, like cabaret work, and put together, you know, like smaller things kind of like this that are not necessarily a full theatrical production, but still theatrical. And I've done a lot of, like, I used to run drag bingos in Skagway, drag shows there. I'm part of the Nude and Rude Review, which is the live burlesque troupe out of Juno and a little bit of everywhere. I've performed a little bit with Juno Ghostlight Theater at their mixed cast cabarets as well. And so I thought it would be something that would be really fun to do. And also, actually, initially our idea was, what if we, alongside a script read, do like a sing through, like a full sing through of a musical. And then as we met, we started to realize, oh, hey, what if we created something new? What if we didn't have to, you know, like find, rehearse a full scale show, but have kind of like in a cabaret setting, you know, have people be able to rehearse a little bit more individually. And then we can all kind of come in together at the end. And so that's kind of how the cabaret idea was born.
It's so interesting, right? Like the iterative aspects of creation when you're like trying to get something thought through, and everybody has their artistic ideas, and then you sort of kind of balance that with then like resources and time, and then you go, okay, what can we do? And you just kind of keep iterating in the conversation until you come up with 10 Steps to Personal Revolution, a self-help cabaret. So tell me a little bit about this and what this is all about.
Sure thing. So basically, when we were meeting, we decided that it would be nice to have some sort of through line for the show. And as we started kind of loosely picking songs related to revolution, we were also starting to like find other songs from musicals and being like, that would be so fun in the show, but how do we make it fit? And the 10 steps is how we made it fit. And so we started working with our music director, and she's also the person who wrote all of our like through line for the show. Her name's Amanda Breslow.
Okay.
Amazing. And,
oh, she's fantastic. She's also our drummer for the show. We came up with the idea of like, well, what if it's like a 90s self-help cassette of 10 steps on how you can, you know, be personally revolutionized. And as we were continuing with the writing process and people started submitting some of their own ideas for songs, we ended up kind of changing the storyline a little bit. So it starts off as the 10 steps, and a lot of those steps kind of relate to like personal revolution, personal reflection, looking inward. And halfway through now, we kind of have it where the script changes. The recording of the 10 steps kind of dissolves when we realize that revolution is not necessarily always looking inward, but revolution is community.
Ah, interesting. Okay. I like that the steps kind of get revolutionized as well, in a sense. Yeah, that's kind of cool. Because I was going to say, give me a couple of the steps, but maybe that's not the...
Doesn't matter. Got to tear down the system.
Yeah.
Got to tear it down, start all over. So let me give the details of these just real quick, and then we'll keep talking. Saturday, February 28th, 7 p.m. is the 10 Steps to Personal Revolution, a self-help cabaret. And then on Sunday, March 1st, 3 p.m., the stage reading of Antigone, We Are the Rebels Asking for the Storm. Are both of these at McPheeters Hall?
Yes.
Okay, they're both at McPheeters Hall. And I do want to mention that all proceeds from these shows will benefit NAMI Juno.
Yes.
So it's a nonprofit. I mean, Theater in the Rough's nonprofit anyway, but the fact that you're then giving these funds over to Nami Juno is just excellent. And of course, you can go to theaterintherough.org to find out more information and to get tickets. So tell me who's involved in the cabaret, Tim.
Oh gosh, we have so many wonderful local performers. I actually have a list right here. I won't name them all, but a few, of course, myself, Alex Curtin, we have Wendy Burns, Skiba Wuadi, Kylie Ferguson. We have a brand new person to town. Her name's Morgan Williams. She actually just moved to town a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, excellent.
And she's really fantastic. Hannah Grace Gareb. Yeah, lots of really great people. We have a fantastic band comprised of Amanda Breslow, Craig Millard, Dean Thiart, and Jake Soboloff.
Oh, wow, that's excellent. That sounds like a really fun crew. And look at you already snapping up the new talent that walks into town. Like, that's amazing. I love that. That's what's so great about our community, though, is I was just talking with somebody the other day about this, about what makes Juno so unique. And it's like, it's just that everybody's in it together in some mm-hmm. way. Like, we're all here. And the creative juices that flow through this city and the cross-pollination, the cross-collaboration is so wonderful to see, and you see different people working with different groups, and then they all come together or they go and do off their own. It's just amazing. It's just like, you know, it's such a great thing. You've been here a long time, Donnie. Do you get that sense too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And it's so much fun. It's so much more fun to collaborate than to compete.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, we just make each other better.
And working with people, and then you just kind of like say, oh, yeah, I want to work on this project with that person, and then it happens. And as opposed to like, oh, we have to get approval from, you know, the theater gods or whatever. We have to rent a space. Like, the spaces are available, there's people there, and you can make the art happen, which is just fantastic.
Yeah, we were very lucky in this instance that, yeah, you know, Katie and Aaron said, go for it. And they, you know, and yeah, I mean, you can make theater anywhere.
Yeah, you can. You can. It's so true. Tim was in our last roundtable readings. We made theater right here in the studio.
Yeah.
Kind of fun. So, okay, so then this play that you found, Antigone, We Are the Rebels Asking for the Storm. Tell me about how it reimagines the classic tragedy.
It's from the translation by Ken Cavender, who's I think does great work, and then it's adapted by a man named Matthew Minicino, who is out of, I believe, New York, and it's just a modernization of the Antigone story. So there's newscasters, there's radio, there's sort of the chorus is kind of like a if Facebook posts could speak, you know, and the language is modern and strong. It does have some strong language in it. And that's basically it. The story is exactly the same. The story is essentially the same. The nature of the speech is exactly the same. It's just the language is really, really modern.
It's sort of making it accessible for a modern audience.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
very
the themes
much so.
Of that show, because people who may or may not recognize Antigone, that's probably something you read in high school. If you're not a theater person, you probably had to read it for some class, or maybe in college if you studied any literature or whatnot. Mm-hmm. But the themes would still resonate today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And this adaptation makes that very clear. You're like, oh, we humans have been doing this forever. When will we learn?
Let that question linger. When will we learn? And so is this something that you maybe want to do as a full production sometime? Or is this like is it a big cast? Is it huge?
It's not a huge cast.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's an excellent script.
Yeah.
But I read a play every week that I'm like, I'm going to do this play. So I don't want to get too excited, but it'll be great to hear it. It's really, really great to hear it read aloud.
Mm.
There's some really awesome performers.
Yeah, please tell us about who's in it.
I will tell you now. We've got Kylie Ferguson, Noah Carlson, Connor Lundrum, Maria Gladyszewski, Rebecca Gagin, Max Rosen, Hannah Gareb, Grady Wright, Timothy Sislow, Jim Curtin, the director's dad, Dan Wayne, Margaret Shorey, Esther, who's a Jesuit volunteer whose last name is?
Steinke,
thank you. Sorry, Esther, we love you. And Patty Kalbrenner. And myself.
Wow, that seems like a pretty big cast.
Well,
actually,
the chorus makes up a lot of it, right?
Sure, okay, yeah.
So you have those core characters, Creon, Haman, Antigone, but then you have the chorus chiming in here and there.
as my very first play in high school, the thing that sent me down the rabbit hole of theater for my entire life was Antigone. I played the third guard.
Yeah.
I had like two little scenes or something. I don't know. I was like a freshman or a sophomore in high school. So this play has been around. My partner did an indigenous adaptation last year called Antigone. And it was really interesting because it took the same story but set it in like modern museums. And like there were indigenous remains that were in the museum. And so fighting for, I mean, you should read
that's
it.
That's very cool.
It's really cool. I mean, you could do like a whole series of Antigones you know, are based on different ideas that are happening around in the world.
Totally. I saw Antigone when I was 17. As part of the Oedipus cycle, directed by Molly Smith,
Over at
Marta Lastovka played Antigone. I saw that play 7-8 times. I paid to see that play as a high school senior.
Wow!
It blew my mind, and it was so good. And I loved it. I've read so many adaptations. This is one of the best ones that I've read.
Oh, that's so cool. That's really great. And so, but that's the other news here is that Theater in the Rough won't be having a spring production. This is the production for the spring, is this weekend of Revolution.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's going to be cool. Go ahead.
I got to make sure I say that it's also cross promoting with Perseverance Theater. So I would be not in trouble, but I would feel bad if I didn't mention that they will open on Friday night, Pueblo Revolt.
Yeah.
And then at that opening, we'll have a table so people can sign up to get seats on Eventbrite for either of ours. But also Rachel Levy will be with us for that night at Perseverance. Rachel Levy from Broken Bottle Prints, amazing, amazing block artist here in Juneau. She's created a special block just for this weekend.
Oh, wow.
And she'll be at each performance in real time making those block prints, and she'll put it on your t-shirt, she'll put it on the shirt on your back. I think she's going to bring some of her own work that's already made. She's got some patches made up of the block that she made just for this particular weekend.
Oh, that's cool.
And then Pueblo Revolt will run from Friday the 27th through Sunday the 15th of March.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to go back and listen to last Friday's show, I think we talked with the cast about that show, all about the revolution from 1680 in Nuevo Mexico. So what a cool weekend. What a great way to put something together. You can do something each night. You can go Friday night to the opening of Pueblo Revolt. You can go Saturday night to 10 Steps to a Personal Revolution, a self-help cabaret. I love that title, by the way.
Thank you.
And then Sunday at 3 p.m., you can go to the reading of Antigone, We Are the Rebels Asking for the Storm. All of your favorite Juno performers making something special happen this weekend. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Gunathchish, for being here and telling us all about it. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
Yeah, theaterintherough.org for more information and tickets for this weekend and all proceeds from these shows. I think even Perseverance's Friday night opening, they're giving the proceeds from that as well to NAMI Juno, which is really cool. So appreciate it. Timothy Sislow, Donnie Gott, Gunathchish.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Boston.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizerwitz, and this is Climate Connections. In Burkina Faso, a grassroots group run by women in their early 20s trains other women to install solar panels. In Peru, a youth collective helped build a paved road to make it easier to bring water to a remote village. In Indonesia, young people partnered to provide solar electricity to food producers.
Young leaders today are building the solutions that are required for the future that we want.
But Joshua Ampinson of the Youth Climate Justice Fund says just a tiny fraction of philanthropic funding for climate initiatives flows to youth-led groups, especially in the Global South. So his fund is working to change that. Over the past few years, it's awarded more than $4 million in grants to over 100 youth-led groups around the world. Ampinson says young people may lack the education or work experience needed to get traditional grants, but many have suffered climate impacts firsthand.
Have lived through some of the worst floods in the world, have had to relocate, have become a refugee out of that.
Young people often know what solutions are needed, and they have the motivation to act. So Ampensum says they need better access to funding to build a resilient future. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Emil Mackey at Country Financial, offering insurance for home, auto, and business, and life insurance to protect your family in case of death. Located in the Juno Nugget Mall. More information can be found online or by calling 907-500-7017. You are listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson right here at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. I am pleased to be joined now by Becca Parks, the relatively new executive director of the Juno Chamber of Commerce. I always think of it as, remember back in the day, advertising, it was, product would say new on it? And I learned one time that they can use that language, or at least they used to be able to use that language legally or whatever, for up to a year.
Oh.
So, and it's like newlyweds, right? You're a newlywed for a year. So, yeah. Like, there's the year idea. So you're new.
Yeah, well, I think it flows with the, like, full year cycle of getting to know a job. I need to know the year.
You got to know exactly what's happening and all the different events that come up. But you are the new executive director of the Juno Chamber of Commerce. And Gunath Cheesh, welcome in. Wasiyati, I hope you're doing all right today.
Gunath Cheesh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so let's first start with you, and then we'll get to chamber business.
Okay.
Because you come to the Juno Chamber of Commerce from a very varied background. Can you explain just a little bit about your trajectory? I know you got here in like 20 years ago or so.
Yep.
To Juno. What have you been doing in Juno these last 20 years?
Yeah, I mean, I was a classroom teacher before I moved here.
Mm.
And moved up here and have been very much engaged in the education world. I started off at Juno Economic Development Council, which I think is my interesting path into the chamber world. But there I was doing workforce development and really focused on our first robotics program, which is still alive and well across the state. That gave me a chance to fall in love with Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
I had great opportunities because it was an economic development organization to really understand the kind of big picture of the state and to travel a lot. I worked with schools and students all over from Utqiagvik down into Metlakatla. I had the incredible privilege of visiting lots of villages and cities around the state.
Mm.
I moved from there to Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, where I think I became even more grateful to be in Juno and on Klinkit-Ani. Loved my time there. Got to work on the opening of the Indigenous Science Building. Build some really great relationships with everyone that I worked with there. And then just kind of it felt like the right time to move. I learned about this position as I was just feeling like I wanted to try something new in my career and my life that felt really important in Juno and felt like an opportunity at a time where I think there are a lot of communities that feel really divided right now.
Mm.
And I love the sort of purple politics of Juno, and I love that we really are a community-oriented group.
Mm.
And it feels like the chamber is a great place for that.
Yeah, we were just talking about that with the arts group that we just had on the theater group about
how it's such a, you know, we're all here together, right?
Yeah.
And it's like the business world as well is also collaborating, working together and finding the best ways to make Juno a wonderful place to live.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. And we just profiled the Indigenous Science Building. We had the people on to talk about that building. It's such a cool, I did a class last fall, the soup making class.
Oh, great.
It was so fun, you know. Never had a mountain goat before, so I got to try mountain goat and learn about the process and the traditional foods process. So cool. So that's interesting to hear that you were part of that. So yeah, the attraction to taking this job on at the Juno Chamber, because it's a small staff.
Oh, right? Yeah. We're 2¾.
2¾, yeah. So it's a small staff. So when you see that job description, when you are going to apply, what is it in there that said, okay, this is something that I want to take on?
I really do think it is that love of Juno and the appreciation for the diversified commerce opportunities that we have here and the really unique challenges we have across all of our businesses. You know, I was talking to people about some potential business roundtables on transportation and shipping costs, on workforce retention and recruitment, on marketing and social media, just how unique some of those things are to Juno and to Southeast, and how they are shared across industry, and how much value there is in sharing and not really feeling the competition between businesses, but understanding where those shared learning opportunities are and I think shared advocacy opportunities are too.
So now you're 6 months in.
Wow, that makes it sound
right. It's about because August to now is, I think, about 6 months, right? Or a little more than 6 months. So, what have you learned on the job so far?
I have gained a huge appreciation for the work of the chamber and the amount of advocacy that the organization really does in the history of the organization. I am incredibly grateful for Maggie and Craig and the executive directors that came before me and understanding how important it is for our business owners that are working incredible hours and really need to focus on the day-to-day of their businesses to have a group like the chamber that has a really active board and is there at the assembly meetings, that's able to track what's going on up at the Hill, that's able to do some of that connecting between different businesses, and then report back out to our members.
You know what's interesting is you're making me think as you were talking that, you know, we don't, and a lot of people take pride in this, and I think it's an interesting fact about Juno is, you know, we've had, you know, and we still have some, the corporations who come in, bring the big businesses, the Home Depots, the things like that. But really, Juno seems to be made up of small business and like people who are making it happen, making a go of it in their way here in town. Obviously, you know, because if it, like, we don't have a Barnes & Noble, we have Hearthside, right? We don't have, you know, other restaurant chains. You know, we have no Red Lobster. We have Salt, or we have, you know, whatever it might be. Like, that's really interesting, you know, and because you've seen those big companies come in and then they sort of jet out, right? So I can understand, because they're maybe not making the bottom line or whatever it is they need to do on their corporate, you know, bottom line sheet or make those numbers. But here, you're committed to, you know, I just love the commitment that business people have here in terms of making a go of it and making it happen.
Yeah, and it is a great community of those business owners that are there helping each other, and they're here because they want to be here, not because business is easier here, not because it is necessarily the right decision for their business. Most of our small business owners aren't here to make a fortune. They're here to run a business and live here.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is happening at the chamber currently? I know you have the weekly meetings every Thursday at noon. Where do those take place?
Well, right now we're moving around a bit. So number one, if you're not already following our newsletter, I highly recommend going on our website and just signing up for that because we do have a lot going on. Every Thursday, we have a luncheon. Those are open to members and non-members. We have member pricing, so it's a little bit more affordable if you are part of the organization, but we do just encourage people to come out and learn. Those topics are meant to be educational, and sometimes moving around is part of that. So today and tomorrow, we're partnering with the Juneau Economic Development Council on the Innovation Summit that's happening over at Centennial Hall. So tomorrow's luncheon will be at Centennial Hall. It's a great chance, even if you can't make the whole Innovation Summit, come take advantage of the keynote speakers. Tomorrow during lunch, they have a woman named Molly Pyle, who is a rural innovation expert. She's traveled here from Florida to present to the summit. And like I said, for a pretty reasonable price tag, you can come in and hear a top caliber speaker and be part of the huge networking opportunity, people that are here from around the state for that summit. Mm-hmm. The other part of that, I'm just going to throw it in, is a pitch contest that we're co-hosting with JEDC tonight.
Oh, but tonight. Okay.
Yeah, I'll run through the luncheons and then we can hopefully come back to the pitch contest. March 5th, we're going to be at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. Lee Kattinger and David Russell Jensen are going to present to us on a lot of the economic impact of SHI, but then also really diving into celebration. I'm excited. It's
Come
a celebration
in.
Event.
Yeah, it is.
We really want to reinforce it is a full community event. Mm-hmm. And so ways that we can pull in more of the business community and just see the economic impact and the cultural impact of having that event here in Juneau. Mm-hmm. Then on the 12th, we have Alex Pierce from CBJ coming in to share the results of their tourism data from last season and a little bit of a preview into this season. The 19th, we have a presentation on Alaska Pollock 101, and hopefully we'll cover a little bit more on broader fisheries. And then the 26th, we have KINY. They've had a lot of changes going on over there, and so Cliff Dumas is going to come in and update us a bit on what's been going on with that station.
I just moved. He's my neighbor. It's kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
We were out there shoveling snow together.
Well, I hope you could come and hear the updates.
Yeah, it would be fun. It would be a lot of fun. That's so great. Yeah, so those happen every Thursday at 12.
Yep.
And you said you're bouncing around and people should subscribe to the newsletter. Do you also have like a Instagram page? Or
we're on all the things.
I shouldn't say all the things,
but we're on Instagram and Facebook. My social media world is narrow, so that seems like all the things to me. Our website is updated, and to register, the calendar on our website is live. So you click the links on there.
Okay.
The locations are fairly set. So we're at Centennial Hall tomorrow, March 5th. We're going to be on campus at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, actually at One Sea Alaska Plaza, the space at the bottom of the Sea Alaska building. And then the following three are all at the Alaska Brewing Tasting Room out in Lemon Creek.
Oh, great. Excellent. Okay, yeah. That's great. And so what else are you looking forward to coming down the line with the chamber? I know there's big events that happen every year.
Yep.
What's coming up?
Well, we've got our two signature really large networking events. One is on April 25th, so that's coming up pretty soon.
Yeah.
It's Spirits of Alaska. It's up at the tram Saturday, April 25th. I said that. And we've got distillers from all over the state coming in together to pour, and we'll have some snacks up there. And like I said, it is just a really fun networking opportunity and just chance to taste some of the delicious things that are made around the state. And then our gala is on Saturday, October 10th. And we haven't released our theme yet for this year. It'll be coming soon. And that is at Centennial Hall. There are some tickets available through membership perks. But this year we have adjusted things. So there will be some tickets available for purchase. And that event, you know, we sort of pride ourselves on being the formal event of the season. People go all out, and it's a blast.
That's going to be a big planning thing for you to work out, right?
Yes. Yeah, it really is.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Let's go back real quick before we run out of time here to talk about the pitch session. I know it's happening tonight. What is that pitch session?
Yeah, I had a chance to talk about it yesterday, and someone was like, "Oh, it's Shark Tank." I was like, "Yes, that is exactly what it is." Slightly less aggressive, but it is a competition.
I'm out.
there's a cash prize at the end, and other incentives. So these are new businesses just looking to start up that are coming and getting up in front of everybody in the audience and pitching their ideas.
Wow.
There's crowdfunded prizes supplemented by the Chamber of Commerce and a couple other donations, grateful to AELMP and some others that have chipped in. It's just seed money. It's really great. No strings attached. So we have 5 amazing pitchers that are going to come in, talk about their businesses. And the range is a little crazy, so I'm always I'm in awe of the judges kind of sorting through how they pick a winner out of. We've got one group that's a technical solution that's really tailored to tribal organizations, native organizations, and Recal Worrell will be there with a new series of trading cards featuring indigenous artists. But then we also have a procurement and expediting solution.
Wow.
So the range of ideas that will be presented is pretty fun. And it just flows with the idea of the whole summit of, like, look at the brilliance that's coming through entrepreneurs around the state and the opportunity that we have to start up new businesses, and just encourage those individuals to stay home, stay here.
Yeah, stay here. Yeah, that's really cool. I don't know how they're going to judge the differences there. I guess they use a sliding, they use some different categories like creativity and business acumen. I don't know what it would be.
I'll describe it at the beginning. I just got my long list of bullets on what the judging criteria are, but it's fun. And the crowd gets to vote too. So I took my name tag off. But everybody who comes, you get one vote and then you can pitch in. Like I said, the prize money is largely crowdsourced.
Okay.
So you buy votes and then you can vote. And then there's a judged award and there's a sort of viewer's choice. I forget what the name of the second award is.
That's cool. And the Innovation Summit is, again, happening for the rest of today and then also tomorrow. As Becca said, the luncheon for the Juno Chamber will be in collaboration tomorrow at noon, as well as tonight's pitching session. We'll also be collaborating with JEDC on that.
Yeah, and I'll say that I think JEDC has done a really great job of putting the event together. The speakers that we've seen so far have been great. I got to go on the innovation tours this morning, and we got to tour really some amazing businesses around town. Went and visited Barnacle Seafoods, Wild Oven. It smelled great. Who doesn't want that on their morning tour? And then all their pricing is sort of pay as you can. So you go online, you can still buy in to register tomorrow. And like I said, it's a sliding scale. So
that's cool.
Really want to encourage people to come out and take advantage of it as a local learning opportunity.
I love it. Becca Parks, Executive Director of the Greater Juno Chamber of Commerce. Here on Juno Afternoon. You can go to junochamber.com for all of the events coming up. There's a calendar on there and all that good stuff. Becca, it's great to meet you. Great to have you on the show again. That was doesn't right because I've met you before. So meet you in this new role. Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. It's awesome. So thank you so much for coming on, Gunath Cheesh.
Thank you, and I hope to see you again next month.
Absolutely. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. On tomorrow's show, it's Words in Flight, an hour-long radio special featuring selections from episodes of Bird Note Daily and Bring Birds Back that highlight contemporary poets. That will be in place of Juno Afternoon tomorrow, Thursday, February 26th at 3 p.m. with a rebroadcast at 7. You can find the show online at kto.org/JunoAfternoon. Live stream archives are on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. Programming support comes from Country Financial, Hanson Gress, Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, and Tongass Federal Credit Union. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Gunath Cheesh.